Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show.
What's up, guys? Welcome to a new episode of AST Presents. This is your host, Arden here. Hope all is well with you. I have a really good interview planned for you today, man, special guest. I'm really excited to talk to her because, you know, I've been seeing her on her grind for at least the last few months. I've always heard about her, but having the opportunity to meet her last fall and seeing what she's been doing, you know, up closely, I think she's a really incredible person, and she's really grinded and doing what she has to do. And before I really even get into today's show, man, until she calls in, which should be really soon, let me just give my prayers and thoughts, and I hope you've done the same thing, too, to the folks down there in Charleston who were affected by that church shooting last night. You know, a terrible thing happening to that community down there. And for as much as, you know, I know the emotions on Twitter right now is all over the place, and it's all over the place everywhere, just know that, again, for as much as there's a lot of beautiful things in this world, beautiful people and beautiful places, there's also a lot of ugly out there, and we just have to accept both. And I know people are not trying to hear that right now, but you just have to accept both and just keep your faith in the man above and hope that something, you know, comes to this. You know, there's justice involved. And but I think the bigger thing is we just have to make sure those people down there, that we can help them move forward, because this is such a crazy thing to happen that we got to make sure, man, you know, families lost loved ones, you know, people had people affected down there, you know, that community, you know, was affected. So just make sure, man, that you send your prayers and thoughts to the people down in Charleston and that you can help them just move forward from this, man. But let's continue with the show. Our guest for today is on the line. Like I told you guys before, man, I've been watching her do her thing for a while now. Met her last fall at a U Stadium football party. Shout out for the folks at U Stadium. And this is a woman, man, who's really doing her thing. She's one of the reasons why Twitter is a better place today. She does an excellent job, and her website is really incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, on the line right now is Ashley Nicole from geeksandcliques.com. How's everything with you, Ashley?
Hi, Arden. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. Thank you once again for coming on the show. I always wanted to talk to you, you know, on one of my shows, and I finally was able to, you know, arrange it. Thank you once again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. And once again, folks, if you want to follow Ashley on Twitter, you can always follow her at Geeks and Cliques. The Twitter handle is in the description below. Also, check out the website, geeksandcliques.com. You won't regret it. It's awesome. Now, let's go ahead and get into this interview. Of course, I have to ask you this, Ashley. How did you get into sports? Was it something that you discovered, or did somebody, you know, family or friend put you on the sport?
No, I did not grow up liking sports. Even though I was raised by a single father, everyone just thinks like, oh, your dad got you into sports. No, I was one of those kids who hated gym class. I didn't get into sports until really late in life, until I was about 20 years old. And it just came organically just by watching. I just became just an avid fan of the game.
Wow, that is actually incredible, you know. And for me, it kind of reminds me of my story a little bit, but I started liking sports, you know, from a younger age, because both sides of my family, my mom and dad's side, they're not big sports fans at all, at least of American sports. You know, my mom's side's from down south, deep down south, my dad's side's from the island, so any sports
that
they like, it was like...
Well, my dad's actually a big sports fan. I just didn't like sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Both sides of my family, they don't like sports at all, but...
Wow.
You know, and so, yeah, you know, so... So basically for you, you say you started liking sports late. Is that what you said? You said at 20?
Yes, I was grown. I got out of whatever little hobbies I liked. It was pretty much set, so I never saw sports coming. So just one day I was just watching the NBA Finals, and it was the Lakers versus Celtics 2008.
Okay.
And actually 2009 at the time. But, yeah, 2009, and that's kind of when I got hooked. And it's just, like I said, I was literally just flipping channels. And then it just, something sparked in me, and I think that just resonates with why sports is so important and why it's so beautiful and why, you know, it really takes your mind away from a lot of the evil in the world, as you were mentioning earlier with the events that unfolded last night. Sports, it does that purpose, because I was at a really low point in my life and sports was there to kind of pick me up. And now I'm able to make a living off of it. So it's kind of like this fairy tale ending, but it's so true.
You know, and it is, and again, and I'm really happy that you said that, because, you know, I know there are some people out there that I really believe, like, you know, well, what kind of impact sports can do in troubling times. You know, sports can do a lot, man. Again, even if
yes.
it's for hours, people are able to just get away and just enjoy something else and actually have fun. And it's not, you know, a surprise, or it's not a coincidence, y'all, I say, that's a better term, that in a lot of this country's, you know, troubling times, sports was used as a way to relieve stress and to get away from it, whether it's 9/11 or any other tragic event that happened locally or nationally. But
mm-hmm.
the next thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, you starting to like and follow sports at, you know, at the age of 20. What were your earliest memories as a sports blogger? You know, when did you first decide, you know, I want to write about sports, I want to talk about sports? What were your earliest memories?
My earliest memories were really just very, just trying to find someone to talk about sports with. That's mainly how I got into blogging, because I didn't set out to, like, oh, I'm going to start a sports blog. I just wanted to talk about the sport. Didn't think I could make money out of it. I just wanted to, like, have an outlet where I can watch a game in real time and have a conversation. So I would hit up a lot of message boards, and back in the early days of Facebook, like, a lot of fan pages, and I would just, like, get my name out there. And slowly but surely, I had, like, a mini following. And then they're like, well, you should kind of write all these things down in, like, a blog format. And I'm like, okay. So, in the early days, I had, I forgot what it's even called, one of those free blogging templates, and I would just put all my thoughts
okay.
in there, never thinking to monetize anything, never thinking to promote my work, never thinking anything like that to cover them. Just wanted to talk sports.
I remember my first blogging memories. I actually remember it was at that time, I'd probably say 09 to 2010, where writing blogs were popular on Facebook in the notes section. I don't know if you remember
yes.
that time. It was like
yes,
everybody used to write something in the notes section, and that's when I started. And then I remember June of that same year, 2010, I still have the same page 5 years later. So me and you right around that time really get into it. And I remember those ESPN message boards. I used to get on them when I was in, you know, 10th, 11th grade. That was hilarious times. Extremely
yeah,
hilarious,
I used to
you know?
Really hit up message boards. I used to hit up a lot of NBA pages. And I still get emails from them to this day. I'm like, I don't remember making an NBA.com account. And I remember, like, early in the day, like, that was before the age of Twitter just taking off. This is how people converse with each other. And now social
mm-hmm.
media has made everything so centralized, and you can just talk to anybody in real time and have really good interaction thousands of miles away. It's just incredible to me.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just speaking of Twitter, I want to ask you this real quick. Like, what are your thoughts on just sports Twitter in terms of what you see on a daily basis? Like, to me personally, I feel like sports Twitter is the best part of Twitter. I feel like we really make Twitter come to life.
Oh, yeah. I think when it's all said and done, when you look at the popularity of sports, you know, sports rising and falling in terms of popularity, I think a lot of social media in general is going to be pinpointed as the reason why. For example, the NBA. I think the NBA, in terms of popularity, has just taken over baseball from a social media
mm-hmm.
standpoint, like, in general, because it attracts a much younger audience. And I think the popularity from Twitter and the real-time tweets about the NBA Finals and the playoffs, you know, it just, it creates such a popularity with the sports. And as you can see, ratings are as high as they've ever been. So I think it's more than just us just speaking about it. I think the numbers prove themselves. And I love sports Twitter. Sports Twitter is one of the best aspects of social media in general, because a lot of people put their differences aside and focus on one universal, you know, hobby. We just like to watch. And that's really the glory of it. We make fun of star players. You know, we make them very human. We make fun of LeBron's hairline. You know, this omnipotent sports figure. You know, he's reduced to such, you know, a universal figure. And we just have fun with it. I think as long as it stays fun and we don't take ourselves too seriously, which a lot of people do on social media, then I think sports Twitter is one of the last few remnants of just something that's pure and organic that we have.
And, you know, the next couple questions that I have for you, I'm basically going to, you know, combine them into one, which is, of course, with different things in life, if you step into it and you're looked at as the, let's say, like the minority or the expectations are not there for you, you know, people could be caught by surprise if you happen to do your thing and really rise above those expectations. And so you, as somebody that's a female that's covering sports and what is looked at as a male-dominated thing, you know, do you think there's a certain perception about females in sports? And have you personally have gotten any type of expectations or pressure placed on you because you're a female in what is like this male-dominated world when it comes to talking about sports?
I mean, early on, I think it was a lot more prevalent with a lot of the, you know, you're a girl, how much could you know? And I think a lot of that was more tight-lipped. No one really said that to my face. More so, you know, just online. You know, whenever people get mad at me for a report or whatever, people would say little things like that. But I've never experienced anything really blatant. What I've more so experienced are mass of, you know, sexism. Just like if I come to an event, I'm the only girl there. You know, those are things that are very evident. I see a lot of women who get into sports, but they're more so reporters. First, sports fans, second, you know what I mean? So they don't really, you know, a lot of the, not even the Erin Andrews, because I think she's actually legit, but, you know, a lot of the reporters who do work at ESPN, they don't set themselves apart so that they can actually spit knowledge. You know, sort of like Jemele Hill, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but I do appreciate that she actually puts forth her sports knowledge. A lot of females do not want to assert themselves as sports fans. They just want to stick to the script, you know, Gary Reporter style. And I don't think that love of the game is just natural. The way that men are allowed to get all in their feelings and root for teams and have an interest in the game, women are not allowed that same privilege. And I think that's still to this day a huge problem.
Absolutely, I agree with you there, man. And I really like females who are just able to express themselves. You know, like you are able to express yourself on Twitter. And regardless if somebody agrees or disagrees with you, I really respect your opinion. And I really like, again, I really like Jemele Hill. You know, I love when what's her name? I think Casey Champion. I really got her name wrong. When she's able to, explain herself.
Kari?
Yeah, Kari Champion, yeah, or Josie Anderson, you know, and even, you know, others that I know, you know, like, you know, we both know Erica, you know, Erica Fernandez.
Yeah.
She expressed herself very well, like Macy Goller. So you guys being able to express yourself is really cool. And that's where it leads to my next question, which is Geeks and Cleats.
Yeah.
How did you create it, and what is its purpose?
I created Geeks and Cleats last spring. The purpose of it was really just I knew I wanted my own sports website, but it's, you know, an age dominated by different sports blogs and indie websites. So I decided to, you know, put my own flair on it by having an equal balance of sports and geek culture news. So, you know, you could read about the NBA Finals on one part, then you could read about the Avengers movies on one side. I just wanted to tie my two loves. I didn't really, you know, have like a goal in mind as far as what I wanted to put out. I just knew that these are two topics that I'm equally in love with, and I think that they converge more than people think. I think the relationship between geek culture and sports is more prevalent than ever. And all the time, I'm always making analogies about, you know, comic book heroes and athletes. So I'm like, okay, what if I just make this a full-blown thing? And it just took off from there.
Absolutely. And I'm actually happy you said that last part, because I was about to say the same thing. Like, geek culture, you know, and sports culture, they're both synonymous with each other. Because, again, when we watch
they're
an athlete
similar.
Play, like, like what LeBron James or any other athlete who happens to do something, we like to call it, oh, it's superhuman, or, you know, Batman or Superman or whoever, you know, saves the day. So it's definitely like synonymous with, you know, one another. And with you being a blogger, really being in this, like, I just want people out there that's listening, you got to say, there's somebody, let's say, different. There's a difference between me and Ashley, like, when it comes to this blogging thing. Like, she's full-time with this. Like, this is what she does. She makes a living off it. I blog for some time, and I can get lazy. This is what I do. The radio and the podcast, this is what I do. So, Ashley, can you please tell the people out there, what is that average day like for you? Because I see you on Twitter every day, all day, always uploading new content. So please let the people know.
Well, you know, people ask me, oh, do you go to sleep? I'm like, no, I don't. And it's the truth. The thing is, when you run a website, and I know so many people who run their own website, and the successful ones, you know, it's the same thing. It's a constant schedule. The demand for new and fresh content is what keeps people coming back. That is why I rarely discriminate on what I put up on the site. You know, I like to have whatever pleases the people. But also, it always comes back to the sports and geek content that is just, you know, the brain, the heart and soul of the website. So it always comes back to, you know, geeks and queeps. But I have a little bit of everything. You have to keep news churning out and churning out. And one thing that I am very, you know, that I love to do on the website is I like to have some kind of social commentary on issues. So that's why the events of last night I do put on the website, because I like to let people know that in the midst of all this NBA finals and the Avengers and X-Men movies, I have, you know, I have a brain. And I'm aware of what's going on around me while we're being distracted by LeBron James and Steph Curry, you know. So I do have a lot of social commentary as well. And I like to stay in real time. That's why I upload so many articles. That's why I'm always on Twitter talking to people and having conversations, so I can stay very present.
You know, and I think that's a great thing that you do. And I feel like everybody, whenever you have the chance to, should just express themselves on anything. But my biggest thing is, I think you could always express yourself, but just make sure that, you know, you're expressing yourself for, like, the right reason.
Exactly.
And you've done a real research. And I'm not saying you, because you always done a good job, and I definitely agree with you in terms of uploading new content, because that's, again, that's how you keep getting people to come back, because we're in a time where, let's just be honest, we're in a time where people's attention spans are so short that people don't focus on one particular thing for such a long time. It's, we talk about this thing, then we talk about the next thing. Then after that, then we
talk
about
this
and that.
And one thing that you have to do nowadays is, it's no longer an age where indie bloggers can do a story and you're the only one that has that story. Now the mainstream has caught on to every story that the indie websites would publish. Like, when would you ever see ESPN run an article about LeBron's hairline, or a Twitter reaction, or a Twitter story? Like, that would be unthinkable, like, 3 years ago. Now those stories that, you know, the likes of Black Sports Online or other websites would do are being ran on the mainstream, which is just funny to me. So that's why indie websites and blogs have to. It's no longer an option. You have to keep new content. You have to look for stories. You know, it's no longer just sitting on the couch just copying and pasting, which a lot of people say blogs do. No, we work our asses off. Excuse my language, but that's kind of the truth.
No problem. Absolutely, I agree with you there. And salute to the guy from Black Sports Online, man, who runs it. I actually seen him at, after Game 6 at the press conference. You know, ESPN was on SportsCenter, I was watching it, and he was getting a lot of airtime. I was like, oh, snap, he's out here. And I really feel like us independent, you know, bloggers or radio shows, I really feel like we're slowly but surely are making an impact on social media and journalism today, because you're starting to see people that's on the bigger platforms reference to us a lot and even admit that, oh, we read their stuff and they listen to our stuff and they even like coming on our shows. Like, I've been fortunate to have people from the bigger platforms come on my show and they really enjoy it. So you're not lying.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
You're not lying
the
at all.
The bigger outlets are—they're zeroing in because they know that we're the people down in the trenches. We get the stories first. We're the ones on Twitter who are allowed a little bit more freedom to say what we want to. So they see what we're saying, and they can just articulate it on their mainstream website and put it out there and have a much further reach than some of the indie bloggers. So why not milk off that success?
Absolutely. And I know somebody that helps you with your cause. We both know her. It's Erica Fernandez. Shout out to Erica, man. You can follow her on Twitter, too, at Crows and Sports. You know, what is, you know, the working relationship or the friendship that you guys had, man? Because she's really a part of your movement in Geeks and Queets, and she's such an awesome person, man. Can you just please, you know, elaborate on that more?
Yes, I love Erica. Erica is my main writer. She is the lead writer for the website. So she works side-by-side with me. So, yes, I love Erica. And she shares the same passion I do about sports. She's just as committed, but she's a lot more she loves her team. That's all I have to say. She loves her team. She bleeds for her teams. I've kind of gotten out of that a little bit, but her passion, I think, is a lot more visible. I think as time goes on, I've just been, like, very, you know, I've taken a lot of rejection from my teams a lot more to heart, but she just expresses it, and that's what I love about her, and that's why she's such a big part of the website.
Absolutely, man. Erica, again, man, shout out to you, man, for always doing your thing, man, and really helping out with the Geeks and Queets movement. And I actually want to elaborate on what you just said, too, about rooting for her team. Because I remember when I first started studying journalism in school and we was taught, you know, there was like, you know, when it comes to sports journalism,
you can't really root
for a team. Yeah, like you can't root for a team. You got to say, you know, non-biased.
Yep. That's the beauty about blogging. I think that a lot more, you know, we get a lot of liberties as far as that goes. She's not a homer by any means, but I think her passion for sports in general is just very visible. She's just very, like, you know, if you speak to her in, like, 5 seconds and, you know, she's just serious about the game. She knows her stuff. She's passionate, and that's really what I love about her, and that's why we clicked so instantaneously, because I felt that passion from her. And a lot of times, it's not that easy. Like, people say, yeah, I checked out a game, I did this, I did that in passing, but very rarely do you see someone who's very devoted, and that's awesome. That's just awesome.
Absolutely.
Man.
And basically, you know, before I let you go, last question, what is the future for Ashley LaCole? What is the future for Geeks and Queets?
The future for Geeks and Queets, I just want to keep growing, keep expanding, probably have a few other websites partnered up with me. That would just be another goal of mine. And I just want to see a lot more websites that try to handle the two-genre kind of deal. Like, we do sports and geek culture, so I'm looking for other sites that are quite similar to mine to possibly partner up with and just expand. That's ultimately the goal, just getting bigger and better and more content to please everybody. I'm a woman of the
Ashley,
people.
Absolutely. Ashley, thank you once again for coming on the show. This was a great interview, and you're somebody that I know for certain that, for one, you're definitely coming back on the show soon, because this was awesome.
Oh, thank
you.
Two,
you really have a bright future ahead of you, and you've been working so hard. And three, when I tell people that I've been checking out their work, I legitimately check out Crumbs and Site that I visit often. You guys have a lot of good content. Your staff is good. And, folks, remember, if you want to follow Ashley on Twitter, remember, follow her at Geeks and Queets. Check out the website, geeksandqueets.com. Ashley, thank you once again for coming on.
Thank you again.
I hope you had a good time.
I did. Thank you for having me.
No problem. You have a good day.
You too. Bye.
All right. And that's the episode for AST Presents interview with Ashley LaCole. Really good interview, man. It was really good. Just again, that's why I love doing this show so much, because it's all about me being able to learn more about people and how they guide to this business and the way they think about things, and just being able to talk and go beyond just, you know, the normal questions or the normal spectrums of an interview, just to talk about the game itself or other things. It's just being able to learn about that person. So Ashley, thank you once again for coming on the show. Any more information that you want to ask, you like her Twitter handle, please check out in the description below. Before we get out of here, yeah, man, new episode of the Snatchback Podcast coming tomorrow. I'm recording it in the morning, you know, releasing it Friday. NBA Draft Special, I'm probably doing that Tuesday. You know, Tumblr, which is in the description, artandlovesports.tumblr.com. My mock drafts is going to be released. I'm a lock in and try to get it released by Monday. Like, I'm going to really lock in and try to get it focused, man. But other than that, man, that's the show. Thank you for listening. And like I said earlier about the folks in Charleston, South Carolina, man, please help out those folks. Send your prayers and thoughts to them. And as what I said before, man, for as much as we know there's a lot of beautiful things and beautiful people in this world, there's a lot of evil people and a lot of evil things out there. But all we got to do is have faith in the man above, have faith in your life, stay positive, have the right energy, not only consume but also give out the right energy. And let's hope that this thing could really just be handled accordingly and fast, you know. But, yeah, man, that's the episode. Thank you for listening. Oh, yeah, salute to everybody that got me to 10,000 listens on Blog Talk. It's official. I'm 10,000 listens in on this website. Thank you so much for listening, man. You guys made my morning, which was good, much better. Stay focused, stay blessed, and I'll talk to you guys next week.